Today on Real Life Radio.
When you allow regret to lay hold and stay in your life, it begins to rot and bring forth things. God does not want you and I to have regrets.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you miss a few episodes in this series, you can always catch up at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called Christian Come Home, Part 2. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 15, we'll consider how God really does provide all that we need, and He never limits His love towards us. You see, when it comes to God, we are His creation, and He loves us like a father loves his children. But our sin has separated us from Him. It's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can be reconciled with Him. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that as Christians, we may live in this world, but we're not to be a part of it. Going our own way, looking for fun and pleasure, really only leads us further away from where we belong, and that's at home with the Lord. Now, with his message called Christian Come Home, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The longer you live in this life, if you and I do not deal with regrets, they'll stick to us. And then they begin to fester. You ever get a splinter in your finger? Listen, regrets like that, when you allow regret to lay hold and stay in your life, it begins to rot and bring forth things. God does not want you and I to have regrets. So how we deal with regrets of the past, it really determines the rest of our future. Because if you and I look at something, now look, don't shout out your life's experience, but what is it that you've done in life that now you say, I will never do that again? Well, God bless you. You're a wise man or woman. That's what we say, learning from your mistakes. But if you have experienced something that causes regret and you're not dealing with it, it will eat you alive, no matter how hideous that thing is. Even, look, most things that we hang on to in the regret mode are so big, they're too big for us. That's why Jesus is an available Savior and Redeemer and Healer and Restorer and Resurrector for our lives. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let God be your strength. Don't be your defense. Let God be your defense, that He may exalt you in due time. God said, I'll get you through this. I'll protect you. And then I will bring you up out of it at just the right time. Well, how does that happen, Lord? Verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So challenging times will come to you and I. Verse 14, Christian, come home. Number 2, this world has nothing on you. I like that. This world has nothing on you. Number 1, this way, Christian, you're His now. And you need to remember that. You and I belong to Him. I love this topic. I could go on for days on this topic. Look what the poor boy does, and he's going to learn a lesson. Verse 15 says, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He doesn't have any money. There's famine. He's far from home. Now look, he's got no way to get back home. He has no bus ticket. He's got nothing. He can't even leave. So now look at this. This is amazing. He joins himself to a citizen of that country. Paganville, heathen town. The word joined himself, the word is amazing. Then he went and got stuck to, glued himself to be caught in the company of another. The intent is somebody that's not desirable. This Jewish boy in the parable winds up gluing himself out of desperation to a Gentile. How do you know he's a Gentile? Because he's a pig farmer. Jews can't have pigs. They can't farm pigs. They can't raise pigs. This guy's a pig pusher. The guy goes from doing his own thing. This kid spends all of his Jewish money on all of his aberrant living, and now he's working for a Gentile, and he's going to be taking care of the pigs. Listen, does this guy belong there? Can I hear a big no? Does this guy belong here? No. Where does he belong? Back home. under the love of his dad. Christian, come home. You need to be under the love of your Father in heaven. But where are you? This guy is absolutely forgetting the fact that he's got a dad back home. All of a sudden, I bet, you know, listen, we've all done this. Now, I don't know how girls are. I've never been a girl. Don't plan on never being a girl. Ain't gonna happen. But I can tell you this. I remember thinking that I could run a home better than my dad could. Oh, don't look at me like that. You thought the thought too. Oh my goodness. Every time you and I say to our parents growing up, you know what, I'm not gonna do that. That's exactly like us saying, not so, Lord. I got a better idea. Every time we thought, boy, was my dad's idea is nuts. What are we saying? Well, the truth of the matter is, this guy, in his process of time and sin, wound up having to join himself, glue himself to a Gentile. I need you, please hire me. The word actually means to beg over and over again. I need you, please help, please, I'll do anything, sir, I'll do anything. I'll even feed pigs. Remember that. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, Revelation 2, 5, Jesus says, remember therefore from where you have fallen as a believer. Repent. That means go back. Do your first work. Start over again. Or else I will come upon you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Christian, if you don't get back with the Lord will come. Listen, I mean this. I'm not joking. The Lord will come back according to Revelation 2:5. He'll visit you and he will take out your lampstand. So what does that mean? If you continue in sin, Christian, you belong to God. You're his. If you do not repent and come home, he'll take you out. He loves you so much, he'll take you out. When he said, I will never leave you or forsake you, he meant it. Even to the point where at the church of Corinth, Paul the apostle had said, brethren, though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I judge this situation as though I were there. This young man who has taken his stepmother in sexual activity, stepmom, sounds like LA. Sounds like soap operas. Paul says in Corinthians, this young man who's having sex with his stepmom, he says, take this boy and cast him out of the church so that Satan will destroy his body. What do you think that means? You think Satan's gonna give him a bubble bath? So that his soul may be saved in the day of Christ. Yikes. Don't push God. Oh, you're his kid, but he could exercise his judgment. So certainly it's done in love, but he may rescue you from your own life that you're living away from God. Is that serious or what? But you know what? Jesus has come back. What happens when we begin to join ourselves to sinful things? The word means to be enslaved to or sold into sin, to be sold into the control of sin and its power. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. The word commit, Jesus is saying, whoever's living a life of sin, all of us sin every day, but we don't plan on it. We don't like it. We hate it. That's not who he's talking about. He's talking about a person who is planning and lives a life of sin that is waywardness from God. John 8, 32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from the grip of sin and of lies and deception. I don't usually give this translation from the Bible because it's not a study version, but it really explains this here clearly. In the New Living Translation, Romans 6:20 says, in those days when you were slaves of sin, you weren't concerned about doing what was right. And what was the result? It was not good. Now, since you are ashamed of the things that you used to do, things that end up in eternal doom, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things which lead to holiness and results in eternal life. For the wages of sin brings about death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Is that not beautiful? Man, that's great. Do you want to follow Christ and do the right thing? Yes. Are you doing it? No, because I'm off the course. Then Jesus is saying, come back. In Romans 8:15, the Bible says, Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again, of fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father, or Papa, Dad. The Spirit himself, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Children of God. Mark that verse, Romans 8:15 to 17. The Bible says, by that truth, you know that you're a child of God. Do you know today, this morning, right now, at 8:45, do you know that you are a child of God? You should know that without any doubt. Yesterday, I don't know where you live. Maybe you and I live near each other. If we do, this is what happened at my house. I was hiding out studying, and Lisa comes flying out of the back of the house into the backyard, and she says, Jehovah Witnesses, Jehovah Witnesses. And she's got her Bible. You should have seen her. She's got her Bible, and she's going, where are those verses? Where are those verses? I go, it's 1 John chapter 5. Copy that. 1 John chapter 5, over. True story. True story. God's my judge. She goes out of the house because they'd left. They had left the front door. She had been there with them at the front door. They're down the street. I get up. I'm looking. And then I remembered, here I come to save the day. I go back to my computer. I go to the, do you guys know this? On our website is Jesus God. Click it. To the printer. Boom, boom. It was just like 24. To the printer. Flies out of the printer. She's like, okay, I grab it. She's down there. She's going like this. Wait, 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 you guys, wait. She's going after the Jehovah's Witnesses. She's got her Bible. She's talking to them. She comes back. I've got the print now, and she's returned, and the second sortie goes out. Now I'm coming after them. Wait, wait. Five of them. They're at my neighbor's house. My neighbor is looking at me like, Jack, I don't believe anything that you believe in, but I believe that you can get me out of this. And I walked up there and I said, hey, excuse me, sorry, pardon me, sorry to interrupt. Excuse me. Read these verses. That's all you need to read. And my phone number is on the bottom here. Call me. And my neighbor goes, thank you. You guys have a nice day. See you later. And he leaves. Their argument was, Jesus is not God, and you cannot know if you're going to go to heaven or not. And I said, listen, if you only knew that Jesus was God, the Bible says, then you would know that you're going to heaven. Yeah. You got it all mixed up. And you're not going to know this without this. You can't have that without him. The Bible says right here, listen, Christian, you belong to him. You got to remember that. The Bible says so. And that bless your heart. Also this, verse 15, Christian, you're a long way from home. Act like it. See, what does that mean? Notice verse 15 says he went and listened to a citizen of that country. This is a derogatory term. Right now, wherever you're at, where are you? Whose bed are you in? What are you doing? You are a citizen of a different country. Get out of that country, man. And run, quick, run, go, go. Do the Joseph. You know the Joseph is, whew, run. He took off in his underwear when she grabbed him. She said, Potiphar's wife said, lie with me. She was freaking out. He was really exotic looking. He didn't look Egyptian. He was Israeli. Joseph's down in Egypt. He's very exotic, very well built, super handsome. The Bible says how incredibly handsome this guy is. He speaks, he's got an accent. He's very, very exotic. And Potiphar's wife, every day it says that she cast daily longing eyes upon him. Do you know what that is? Like, come on. Every day. Every day. And when Potiphar was gone, Potiphar's wife grabbed him by the clothes and said, lie with me. Very subtle. Lie with me. And he took off and he ran in his Fruit of the Looms out of there. Do that. Get out of there, man. Run. Act like it. You belong to another country. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's okay. You can go do that. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Don't hang out with people who are going to plan your demise. Nor sit in the seat of scornful. Don't get comfortable in the world. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Walk with God. Be in the word of God. He shall be like a tree. Listen to this. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. that brings forth its fruit in due season, whose leaves will not wither, and whatever he does, it's going to prosper. The ungodly are not like that, but are like the chaff which with the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They're not going to make it.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Third point under this second here is the world has nothing on you, Christian. So Christian, you're called to a higher life. So live it. God has called us to a higher life. Look at the verse 15. The man was sent into the fields to feed pigs. This was once a rich kid. Now he's feeding pigs. This young man's situation is anything but true regarding his real identity. Think about it. He doesn't belong there. He is a son of his father. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, so from now on, we as Christians regard no one according to the worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That is such great news. Remember your old life? Well, you shouldn't. You need to say, you know what? That was the Jack of the past. He's dead. He's gone. Ephesians 4:1 says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received from the Lord. God says, come on, you're my kids. Live up. Live up. Let's go. Colossians 3 verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Raised. It's another term for resurrection. If you're a believer, your new life has been raised with Jesus. Well, how sure can I be? Well, gee, I don't know. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Yeah, then that's how sure you can be. If we got in a plane and flew 17 hours to Jerusalem today, walked into the tomb and there's his bones, then let's go have a beer because there's no hope. That tomb's empty. That tomb is empty. Why? On Sunday morning, he was risen from the dead. And when Jesus rose from the dead, all those who put their faith in him have risen from the dead also. That's a fact. Are you a Christian? You've been risen from the dead. Set your hearts on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, think thoughts that benefit the kingdom of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I brought a little prop to help you with this. You guys seen this? Those of you who've been with us to Russia? This is a matryoshka doll or a nesting doll. What's inside of here? You only know there's other dolls in here because you've seen this before. You've seen a matryoshka doll. But what do they look like? Could be the same thing, could be different. This very word, hidden, is where we get the English word klepto, like kleptomaniac. The word means to be concealed, to be hidden, to keep secret or out of sight or removed from view. Those who are in Christ have been removed from the view of the world. You are now hidden in Christ. Imagine this being Christ, okay? And here's Johnny, okay? And think about this. Johnny has been washed in the blood of Jesus, according to the Bible. This is Johnny's thoughts, but they're hidden, remember? On and on ago. This is Johnny's ambitions or whatever. It just keeps going. It is a great picture of what it is to be hidden in Christ. You and I have been placed in a place where we're covered by Jesus. You say, covered by from whom? Well, from the one who matters. God the Father looks at you and sees you in Christ. You are tucked deep inside of the Lord. And when the Father looks at you, he's got to look at Jesus. It's wonderful. This man's in the field, though, doing what he ought not to be doing. Third and final point, we'll end with this. Verse 16. Christian, come home. You're no longer of this world. So what are you doing there? He would, note it, 16, gladly have filled his stomach with pods that the swine eat. Gladly. Now the guy's reduced to being, I'll be so happy if I can just eat pig food. Unbelievable. Gladly. The word gladly means to place or to set your heart. It means to long, to lust, to desire after. This guy is lusting after waste food that's fed to pigs. Church, this is very, very tragic, and that's where sin will take us, to settle for things. Oh, look, how sad, huh? You think he had this in life, and now he's happy to have food out of the trash can. He goes from living in a home where he's loved to now he's digging around in a trash can looking for food. Also this, you're no longer of this world, Christian. You ought not to be there in it. So the question is, how did you get there? And how you got there is how anyone and everyone gets there, by willingly taking your eyes off of God. And you begin to look at other, I call them points of interest. You fill in the blank. Where something pulls you, guys, are you with me? Where something pulls you away from focusing on the Lord. You guys, I want you to keep this in mind. Our lives today, like never before, and I'm not just saying this, I'm telling you, like never before in my life anyway, I need to be so focused on Jesus, because as we get closer to the target, like if you're flying into a target zone, there's gonna be more enemy flak blowing up around you, right? Is not the sky filled with attack? Is not our rights under attack? Is not the Bible under attack? Is not marriage under attack? Is not everything that you and I hold dear under attack? Is it not even heating up? Absolutely amazing. But Jesus warned that this would happen. Keep your eyes focused on him. By the way, I don't need to elaborate this, but the pod, let's see, what's a pod? The pod is the fruit of the carob tree. And when it was wasted, when it was already spent, when you had this, it was used to sweeten things, it's sweet. When it was all extracted and all the good stuff was boiled out of it, they would throw the pod out and they would collect it. And they even do today in the Middle East. And they, listen, they don't feed it to just, you don't give it to your dogs or your cats. You feed it specifically to an animal that's going to be slaughtered. You feed it to the pigs and to the beef that you're going to be eating someday. What a tremendous picture, huh? This guy's been reduced down to where the world is now fattening him up for the kill. That's why you need to get home. You need to come home quickly. Jesus said, I know your works. Revelation 3:15 to the church at Laodicea, he says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. He said that to a church at Laodicea. Jesus knew exactly, of course, what he was saying, and the reader knew exactly what he meant. Laodicea was positioned between two key cities. Hierapolis, which is there today, you can visit it. Hierapolis has incredible hot mineral springs. People still travel from all over Europe to go to Turkey to the hot springs of Hierapolis. 11 miles away at Colossae is the incredible ice-cold spring waters that flow out of the mountain regions that line the Lycus Valley in Turkey. Jesus said, I wish you were hot. Oh, you mean to lay in the mineral pools and feel awesome like a jacuzzi in Hierapolis? Yeah, Jesus said, I'd like that. Or I wish you were cold, like I can be refreshed with the cool spring waters of Colossae. But when the waters left those two locations, it flowed down the Lycus River Valley to a central meeting point. It was called Laodicea. And when those two waters hit, it caused the water to be very tepid, very lukewarm, and very, very acidic. It was not drinkable. And Jesus said, if I taste that water, I'm gonna spit it out of my mouth. And if you don't come home, Christian, you're just like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Christian Come Home, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Miracles. The word itself might bring up controversy in your own mind, but did you know that America's history is full of miracles? Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung in the balance? Our country is rich in miraculous tales of answered prayer. So you're gonna love our current featured resource. It's called Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer. It's by Susie Federer. Inside its pages, you'll discover real life struggles that the history books never really told you about. Divine protection in the middle of desperate circumstances from America's past. Men and women rising up with faith, and how situations were miraculously turned around. 32 captivating but little-known stories from the French and Indian War, the American Revolution, the War of 1812, the Civil War, World Wars I and II, and history up through Apollo 13. Learn the rest of the story of how people prayed, challenged, and inspired the nation, and how disaster was supernaturally averted. You are sure to get inspired as you uncover miracles in American history, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer by Susie Federer. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.